Lots of exciting things going on, and we're glad you're getting to be a part of that. I know that you've been urged over and over to be a part of this camp. It's your church camp. It's not sponsored by anyone else. We're doing the entire thing, furnishing all that is going on there. We'll be cooking all the meals. I say we as if I had a mouse in my pocket. Someone else will be doing that, but our staff will be doing that, and our young people will be teaching in the sites, staying in the dorm rooms along with the adults that have volunteered to be a part of that. And I want to urge you to be a part of that. You can come at any time. It's your camp. You can come at any time. You can share a meal with us, and that would be a real exciting time, especially if you come at supper time and then stay for the service. And next Sunday night, we will be having our service there, so we want to urge you to plan on being at the camp next, Woodland Acres Bible Camp next Sunday night. Not tonight, but next Sunday night. And we're just going to have a great time in the Lord. And God's going to bless. We've seen in the past lots of young people give their lives to Jesus during that week. We expect that to happen. We expect a change to take place in our lives because we're there where the Lord is working, and we've made ourselves available to Him. Now let's look at the book of Romans. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Romans, the first chapter. And we'll begin with verse 8, and I know we do a lot of calisthenics here in at Osage, but I'm going to ask you to stand one more time and give reverence to the reading of God's precious holy word. And if you have found that, would you say amen?
Amen.
And then later on, if you hear anything worth saying amen to, we'll expect that out of you. I know now you can say it. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey. Now, you won't hang on to that term. We're going to be talking a lot about that prosperous journey. And it's God's ways are not our ways. And I'm praying that we'll have a prosperous journey in the next 2 weeks. For sure. But God has something marvelous planned. A prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, that I might share what God has given me with you, to the end you may be established. Are you getting what He's saying? He's wanting folks to be established. He's wanting folks to get their feet on the rock, to be steady in the service of the Lord. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I proposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto. In other words, I was hindered, Paul said, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. Everyone, the rich, the poor, everyone, those that are in the know, those that are not. Both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Father, we thank you and praise you for your word. Lord, please today open our hearts to your word. God, help us to grab hold of it today. Lord, lead us to a higher height than we've ever been, to a greater depth of your knowledge than we've ever been. God, lead us to a place to apply this to our lives personally. Challenge us today with your word. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Let me ask you, if God did a work in your life, and it started today, if God just really spoke to you today and you committed to Him, you surrendered yourself to Him today, you had a Damascus Road experience that changed the entire course of your life. Perhaps you're already a Christian. I'm not talking about being saved, but that you really entered into a in-depth relationship with God today, and revival came to you. What would that look like? What would that look like? Can you visualize that in your own personal walk with the Lord? Can you think about what would tomorrow be like if revival actually came to you personally? What would it be like? Would it be the same as yesterday? Or the same as today? What would that look like in your relationship with others? What would it look like in your relationship to the church, in your jobs in the church, in your ministry in the church? What do you suppose that would look like? What would it look like as you dealt with your family, and then as you dealt with your extended family, as you had opportunity to deal with different people, maybe folks that are working under you or over you, or different your classmates if you're still in school, or the people that work on the same job that you work on, the folks at the gas station, folks down at Walmart, and the people that you'll come in contact with the next week, how would that differ? Now, Paul has already, he spent 3 years in Egypt learning at the feet of the Lord. And God has shared with him the message that he's going to be sharing with the world. And he's come to Jerusalem, and he's learned at the feet of the disciples. He's been with the sons of thunder, with James and John and Peter. And he's been there with them, and he has learned from them. And he is writing this letter to the church at Rome, and he has this training behind him now. He's got his feet on the rock, and now he is bringing other folks along in order to get their feet on the rock. And that's really what evangelism is. You know, evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where to get bread. And when you and I, when the gospel is sparked in our life, and we respond to the gospel and accept Christ as our Savior, and then as we begin this walk, I believe that we're faced with all kinds of choices. I think that we can take a road that leads to ease and the way the world would look at things, maybe more money, a career, maybe more retirement, maybe greater status in the job that we're working in. I think that there'd be a road that would probably lead to that. I I watched my own classmates in college that when we left Bible college and had to make a decision about going on to seminary or making some choices in life, and I watched some of those that chose the latter. You know, they could climb the ladder. There's ladders of success and everything, and some of them, their lives ended in tragedy and divorce. So you're faced now with what you will do with the rest of your life and your relationship with the Lord. Are you satisfied? Are you satisfied with where you're at in your relationship with Him? Are you satisfied with that? Do you expect it to just be this way until you die? Until you go to be with the Lord? Or what do you anticipate life to be like for you? Now, Paul has he's got all this under his belt, and then he writes this letter to the church at Rome. You know, not anyone really knows who started the church at Rome. But there's a lot of people would speculate on it, but not anyone knows for sure. And so Paul is writing to this group of Christians at Rome, and he said, "Man, I've heard so much about you guys that I am so excited about coming, because I think I've got something that I can help you with. I think that I've got something that I can share with you. I've got something to share." But he said, not only that, you got something to share with me. You've got something that's going to make a difference in my life spiritually. And he said, I'm so looking forward to that. And so he said, I've been praying that God would give me a prosperous journey. I tell you, I got so many things running through my mind, I can hardly stay on course this morning. And a lot of it has to do with opening our mouth wide that God might fill it. That where God wants to take us spiritually, where He wants to take us as a church, what He wants to do with us. And just studying in Ezekiel, you know that Ezekiel saw the glory of God, and it surpassed anything that he could ever imagine. It was just so much bigger than what he thought. It's kind of like when Uncle Percy saw the ocean for the first time. He said, some way I thought it'd be bigger than this. You know, when we see the glory of God, it is going to be that we couldn't imagine that it was this big. That it was so magnificent. There was so much power of God in for us that was available for us to live our life and to open our mouth wide that He might be able to fill it and for our borders to be broadened in such a way that it goes beyond anything that you and I could possibly expect in our life. What would that be? What could that be? Well, Lord, I don't like change, so don't. Let's not go there. Let's just keep everything in a simple mode here, because I'm simple minded, and I don't want anything too big to happen to me. I'd rather just stay here. Is that the attitude that we want to take? Or do we want to say, God, here we are, we're available. You give us whatever you have. Paul said, I'm praying for a prosperous... Now listen to me. I'm praying for a prosperous journey. I'm going to come one of these days. And he said, I'm praying that God open the doors for me to be able to come, because I got some stuff I want to share. Now you keep that in mind as we look at Paul's life. You keep it in mind. Now, this is one of those sermons that when I get through, you're going to say, man, do I want to go there? Is that direction? Is that the road I want to take? Do I want revival? Because really, I think that our ways are not God's ways. And what we imagine is some kind of celebrity type of revival. You know, where everybody's just so excited and that everybody's doing what they need to be doing and everybody's loving it because the church is growing. Everybody's loving it because we're bringing in folks that are lost and they're being saved and the church is just constantly in a roar, headed full force in a direction that God would have it to come. And then, do you think everybody's going to be for that? Or you think that the devil's going to raise his head and use individuals in the church to say, I don't like it like this. I don't like all these new people here. I don't like not knowing everybody. I don't like it when the church is so busy. I don't like it us doing all this new stuff, different things, and spreading out so. Working everybody to death. Paul said that he'd heard about the faith of the Christians at Rome. It was known all over Rome, all over the Roman Empire. If you profess to be a Christian, people are watching to see how you turn out. And the faith here that the word that the original uses is their walk with the Lord. Their faith, your walk with the Lord is what that's referring to. It's not necessarily that gift of faith or the spirit of faith. It's your walk with the Lord that he's referring to here. It refers to the fact that they were a church in a capital city of the empire. Where one writer had said, Rome is where flows all the things that are vile and abominable. Now here we go. Here's revival in the church. And Rome is in this place where everything vile and abominable. And where they encourage it, the writer said. They were a city set on a hill, shining its light. Paul said, I'm praying for you. Now, you know, we can say that we pray for folks, but here Paul says, only God knows. Only God knows. Now, you know, I don't have any doubt that we've got it pretty easy, don't you? I mean, really, here in America, we got it pretty easy. I mean, there are some persecution. There's some persecution going on. But for the most part, we've got it pretty easy. But I'm telling you, all over the world, it is not this way. And that people are dying for their faith. And so Paul was looking. He knew what Rome was like. And he knew that vile persons were there. He knew that ungodly things were going on. He knew what it was like for a church to be in the midst of that kind of society, that kind of world, and yet was blooming like a flower. Was just, their faith was spoken of all over the world. Here's this church in Rome, right in the middle of the gutter, and yet they're shining like a light. That ought to teach us something. That no matter where you are, that God wants to use you as a light. God wants to speak to your heart. So he said, I'm praying for you, and only God knows. He said, man, all the time I'm praying for you. And he says, God's the only one that really knows. So Paul wants to go to Rome. Of all the things, why would you want to go to Rome? But God had put this in his heart to go to Rome. He wanted to go. And so he was praying for a prosperous journey. Now, I said before, God's ways are not our ways. There's this philosophy that I see people using. And I think that I use it not knowingly sometimes, that if you become a Christian, it's just going to be pie in the sky by and by for you. That is not true. I mean, by and by, but not now. Here in a little while, good night. Where's Shane at? He is the reason that we do not have any time. Did y'all know that? He's not here to take up for himself either, is he? In a little while, I'm going to be inviting you to make a decision to accept Christ. But I would be foolish to tell you it's going to be easy rowing. Because when you become a Christian, my dear friend, you're going to get an enemy. If you are trying to raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, you have an enemy that's against you. I mean, you've got somebody that's fighting that tooth and toenail. If you're trying to be an example for your children, you've got somebody that's fighting against you all of the time. Now, I've used this illustration several times. Years ago, we married a couple down at Hoxie, Arkansas, in a church down there. And we didn't have our church built yet. We were just meeting on a concrete pad. So we borrowed a church down at Hoxie to have this wedding at, and the young couple got in. And those guys are so mean to the groom. Do people do that? They were so mean to the groom. They poured sardines all out inside that cab of that truck and all over the motor. And they pulled off all the spark plug wires. And, I mean, that's awful to him. I mean, he couldn't go anywhere. And they're all laughing about it. So I handed him my car keys. I said, here, take my car. And one of them saw me hand him my car keys. And you know what they did? They cross-wired my old car where they couldn't get it started. Well, I'd worked on it enough. I knew how the wires went. So I raised the hood and started putting them back where they went. And they'd reach their hands in there and switch them while I was switching them. And I thought, that is just like the devil. That's the way the devil operates. I mean, when you're trying to get it right, he's got his hand stuck in there switching the wires. Have you noticed that in raising your kids? That he's always throwing something in the fan? He's creating stuff constantly for us. So you're going to get an enemy. It's not going to be pie in the sky by and by. I finish this tonight because I think this is so good. Paul's praying for a prosperous journey. Now, if he'd have been a modern day preacher, this is what he would have thought. He would say, I'm going to go to Rome. And perhaps some wealthy church member would say, well, Paul, I feel led to send you on a nice cruise ship to Rome and pay all your expenses. You'll have all you need to eat and going to buy you a new wardrobe to take with you. So we just want to be a part of the blessing and bless you as you go to Rome. You know, you remember how he got to Rome? He went as a prisoner. And I mean, they were tearing him apart. And the Roman commander told his soldiers, he said, go get him, they're going to pull him in two. So he went down, and now he is in the castle, and he's laid up in some corner after all that turmoil, and he's asleep, and God spoke to him, and he said, Paul, be of good cheer. Boy, I can't wait to preach the rest of this. He said, Paul, be of good cheer. You're going to go to Rome, buddy. You're going to go to Rome. You wanted to go. You're going to go. And the Romans are going to pay your expense. It's not going to be as fun as you thought it was going to be. I mean, you're going to get snake bit along the way. The ship's going to crash into the rocks and break, and you're going to jump out in the water and grab a board and swim for land. Pray that I might have a prosperous journey. Pray that I might have a prosperous journey. Over when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, I've been beat within an inch of my life several times. A night and a day I've been in the deep. Floating around on a board out there, a night and a day. I pray that I might have a prosperous journey. But this is the thing. You see, he come to a place that he realized that the real things in life are those that are eternal and spiritual. We are not going to take anything in this life with us. The Bible describes life as a breath. It describes it as a little fog that comes up over the grass of a morning, and then as quick as the sun comes up, it burns it off and it's gone. It describes life as a tale that is told, and it's gone in an instant. We have grown old. When I was having breakfast yesterday morning, and there was an old man came through the back door, and he caught my attention for some reason. And I mean, he was shuffling. He just barely could get one foot in front of the other. And he was grinning at everybody that was there. And when he came to my table, he stopped and looked down at me and he said, you'll get here one of these days. I guess I had my eyes glued to him. I don't know. And I thought how true that is. I mean, it's just an instant. It's just an instant. And life is gone. And life has passed away. And not anything that we have will we take with us. Not a thing that we have will we take with us that is of this world. None of the junk. We won't take any cars. We won't take any homes. We won't take any land. We won't take any wardrobes. We won't take any careers. We won't take any money. We won't take any of those things. The only thing that you and I will take to heaven with us is those folks that we have won to the Lord in Jesus Christ. Let's stand together. Now, you know, I really don't know how to do this because it's new ground for me. And it has been for several years, but I'm interested in having revival before I die. I'm just interested in that. I'm interested in God doing big things in my life before I die. And He's done a lot of things in my life, but I don't even think I've seen the edge of the rainbow yet. I believe that He has a great plan. We get off from that some way. I'm afraid that we'd wander, get on the wrong road, get our attention in the wrong direction. I don't know what He has planned, but I want revival in my life. I want revival. I want to be revived. I want Jesus to be the number one thing in my life, and I don't believe I'm there. I know I'm not. I'm not there. He's not number one. I want Him to be. But I know I'm not where I should. Can I be that honest? I'm not where I need to be. Are you? If you're not saved yet, would you get saved today? Would you ask Jesus in your heart as Savior? If God's dealing with your heart to be a part of this fellowship today, would you come and make that decision today for Him? If you've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, would you make plans to do that today? We're going to give you this invitation, and Brother Matt's going to sing, and I'm inviting you to come. As we sing, you come.